The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for Mr. Stephen Flurry. It's another absolutely beautiful sunny day here at Edstone. For the students here, it's a very busy time, so spare a thought for them sitting in the classroom, taking exams for 2 hours, looking out the window while the sun shines down on the absolutely beautiful surroundings here. The return of the strongman leader in international politics. That was the subject of an article by Gideon Rachman in the Financial Times today, and that's the theme of our program today. And in that article, he was writing about how around the world, strongmen are rising. And he, in that article, he begins by writing, historians might one day highlight the year 2012 as the turning point. In May of that year, Vladimir Putin returned to the Kremlin as president of Russia. A few months later, Xi Jinping was installed as secretary general of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, Putin, he was a strong man long before 2012. If you remember, he was president for 8 years and he reached the term limit for being president. And so then he stepped down and became the prime minister. And then he had Dmitry Medvedev became the president, as he was kind of a compliant man who would do what Putin wanted. And then in 2012, Putin came back as the president in Russia. And Gideon Rachman goes back. He writes that these leaders, Putin, Xi and others, moved swiftly to establish a new style of leadership. Compliant media were encouraged to build up a cult of personality, emphasizing the strength and patriotism of the new man at the top. And some of this kind of sounds pretty bizarre to Western ears. We talked about some of this on Trumpet Hour last Friday. Andrew Miller did, how Xi Jinping is the new pop star in China, featured in a new hit song about how wonderful he is. And we've seen similar things for years in Russia. I remember reading several years ago about a Russian equivalent of kind of like a big Broadway hit theater production. And the plot was something along the lines of Vladimir Putin's plane crashing in the midst of Siberia or some very remote location out in Russia. And Putin survives and he saves this local family and this local community. And he's everybody's hero before he's finally found. And this was, like I said, one of their hugely popular productions over there. So these leaders, they become kind of like the heroes of pop culture as well. Like this article said, there's a cult of personality built around them. And this article continues, the trend that began in Russia and China quickly became visible in other countries. And he talks about Al-Sisi in Egypt and Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey and how he has just risen and transitioned into being this strong man type leader. And he continues, the Erdogan phenomenon demonstrates that democracies are not immune to the lure of the strong man. Mr. Erdogan is an instinctive authoritarian, but he won power through elections. Narendra Modi, who was elected Prime Minister of India in 2014, ran a campaign based around his own strength and dynamism, promising to reverse years of drift under the mild-mannered leadership of Mahanmar Singh. In Hungary, Viktor Orban, an elected prime minister, has demonstrated strong authoritarian tendencies. The global trend is gathering pace. Last week, the Philippines elected as a president a populist wild man, Rodrigo Duterte, widely known as Duterte Harry, replacing the cautious technocrat Benigno Aquino. All these men have promised to lead a national revival through the force of their personalities and their willingness to ignore liberal niceties. In many cases, the promise of divisive leadership is backed up by a willingness, sometimes explicit, sometimes implied, to use illegal violence against enemies of the state. And in this article, Gideon Rachman, he really identifies a core point about the world that we live in right now. We are entering into the age of the strongman. It's more than a phenomenon in just one or two countries. In the 1930s, fascism was a trend all across the world. It was a global phenomenon. Again, it wasn't just something that happened in Germany or in Italy. There were fascist parties all across Europe. Even in America, you had Henry Ford and other business leaders endorsing and helping fascist movements within Europe. And so, it was a global movement, as I said. And we're seeing the same thing now with the rise of the strongman. It's not the same as fascism, but it has some similarities, the focus of a personality at the top, and it has this global phenomenon. It's sweeping across national borders, cultural borders. So which country could be next? Well, one of the prophecies that we've emphasized the most here at The Trumpet has been the rise of a strongman in Germany and in Europe. This time last year, the print edition of The Trumpet magazine, it made a very similar point to this Financial Times article right there on the front cover. And that was the May-June issue. And on the front cover were some of these strong men. There was a picture of Putin. There was a picture of Xi Jinping. There was a picture of Iran's leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. And then there was a question mark over the flag of the European Union. And the question asked on the front cover there was, how can leaderless Europe survive in a world of strongmen? That was the theme of the cover. That was the subject of the lead article. It was also the subject of a Key of David program given around the same time.
Russia has a strong leader. China has a strong leader. And Iran has a strong leader. But what about Germany? Germany was the leading exporter of goods in 2006. And they were one of the top exporter of military armaments in the world, and they also have an economy that just totally dominates the European Union. But Germany does not have a strong leader, according to many critics. And they've been voicing those views in quite often of late. And there are several signs that they're a strong leader is about to rise on the world scene. That is, just from world news, there is a sign. But also there is a prophecy in Daniel 8 that talks about a fiercely powerful king that's going to rise on the world scene in Europe and shock this world. It's one of the most astonishing prophecies in all the Bible. And yet, if you look at the whole vision, it's concluded. That same vision that's talking about world news today, and you can easily prove that to yourself, but the end result of that is tied to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now, that may be hard for some people to believe, but it's right there in your Bible and actually is mentioned in like 100 prophecies in the Bible. A strong German leader is imminent. It is prophesied in your Bible, and we have another new book that we want to offer you this week with that same title. The Strong German Leader is Imminent, and all of our literature is free, and we're just happy to send that to you and help you understand what your Bible says about this end time, or as I'll show you today, not only the end time, but the last end of the end time.
That was a clip from a Key of David program given in March last year. And just like the booklet, the title of that program was A Strong German Leader is Imminent. We just heard Mr. Flowey giving a brief overview, a summary of some of the key prophecies that tell us that there is going to be a strong leader rising within Europe, rising within Germany. And this is something that we've been saying at The Trumpet and The Plain Truth before then for years and years and years. And here is a clip from a sermon Mr. Armstrong gave in 1983, where he talks about some of the history of making this forecast.
Now, the very first issue of The Plain Truth was published in February 1934. It came out right on the 1st of February 1934. That is practically 49 years ago, just almost 49 years ago. I'd like to read you what I said. Now, I wonder if you can see it on the screen. I think we have it, and you can see a copy of the front page of that issue of The Plain Truth. And I believe they have it ready to show you on the screen. Well, I don't know if you can see it very well or not. Anyway, I would like to read to you some of the things that were on in that. I hadn't read it myself for several years. I've seen it. I've seen copies of it. We have a number of copies around. It's been reprinted a number of times. I was rather astonished when I once again read what I had written there very close to 50 years ago. In just a couple of months, 3 months, it'll be 49 years. Well, the heading is a world dictator about to appear? Will it be Mussolini, Stalin, or Roosevelt? Now, Mussolini and FDR were both in office at that time. It continues. Everybody senses that something is wrong with the world, that some mighty event is about to happen. What is it? Bible prophecy tells. Here is a solemn warning, and it is the plain truth. We live today in the most momentous, anxious moments of Earth's history. Today, we stand on the very threshold of colossal events that will stagger the mind of mortal man. Just now, it is like the lull before a great and devastating storm. Everyone senses it. Then there was a subhead, the lust for world power. Ever since the pharaohs ruled in Egypt, down into ancient Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, on to Napoleon, and then to the Kaiser, and then to the time that I was writing, with Mussolini was in office, there has been a lust for power to rule the world.
That was just a short clip from Mr. Armstrong talking about the very first issue of The Plain Truth all the way back to 1934. And that was on the subject, as you heard, of strong men. And he was talking about these competing strong men that had risen up in the world then and what was going to be the result of the competition of these strong men. And Mr. Armstrong, he also focused very strongly on the rise of a strong man within Germany. In 1969, for example, in a co-worker letter, he wrote, "There are two strong nations in the European common market, Germany and France. In Germany are several strong leaders. De Gaulle has dominated Europe in the common market. There is no other dominant political personality in France. Now, Germany," he writes in all caps, "will take the lead. What will happen? I have said all along that once De Gaulle is out of power, the nations of Europe will move swiftly to bring political and military union." Now, it didn't happen exactly as quickly or exactly when Mr. Armstrong thought it would, but we're seeing more and more stories about exactly that. Europe is advancing towards a military union, towards a political union. We've talked about some of those on Trumpet Hour over the last few Fridays on our Week in Review program as those news stories pop up in the press. This is happening now. And as Mr. Armstrong points out, there are several strong leaders in Germany, and that's where we need to look for the rise of the next strong leader. Now, last week, the Washington Post had an article called "Germany's Shrinking Middle Class May Spawn a New Donald Trump." Now, many, including the author of this Washington Post article and Gideon Rachman over at the Financial Times, they see Trump as one of these strong men. And there certainly are a lot of similarities between Donald Trump and between some of these strong men that are rising in the world. For many, you know, these men put themselves forward as the solution to their country's problems. And so this Washington Post article writes, "Germany's economic might has often been attributed to small and medium-sized companies, also known as the Mittelstand. But as in the United States, the country's middle class is increasingly being crushed," a new report concludes. The German Institute for Economic Research says the middle class has declined just as rapidly in Germany as it has in the United States, and some fear it could have similar political repercussions and continue to polarize both societies. Germany's recent economic upswing is mostly considered a success story as other countries such as France continue to struggle. But the new numbers show that few Germans have benefited from that boom, feeding many fears that more frustrated voters could turn to extremist parties or populist politicians in the next general election in 2017. And then this article goes over some of the statistics showing that the middle class in both the US and in Germany are suffering. In both, the total income of the middle class when compared to the whole population has shrunk by about 10%. And then the Washington Post writes, in both countries, migrants and foreign-born individuals are often forced out of the middle class into lower-paying positions. In Germany's case, that complicates the country's prospect for integrating the hundreds of thousands of refugees it has recently welcomed into the labour market. And there is another worrisome observation by the German researcher. Young workers are now much more likely than before to join the workforce at low income levels. And then they go on to talk about the potential major political ramifications from this economic trend within Germany. They write that that should serve as a warning for traditional German parties that have failed to address the issues. Or serve as a warning for traditional parties that have failed to address the issues should be concerned, the study's authors say. A US-style political earthquake ahead of general elections next year in Germany seems increasingly possible. The alternative for Deutschland, a right-wing party that has mainly drawn support from older workers who have not benefited from the economic upswing, is currently the third most popular party in national polls. It won support faster than any other German party in recent times, although it regularly shocks the German establishment with Trump-like proposals. One of its top politicians, for instance, suggested shooting refugees, including women and children, who tried to cross the border to Germany. So could we see a political earthquake within Germany? That's what the Washington Post is asking. We've been saying for decades to watch for a strong man in Europe, and the Washington Post is warning now of the same thing. And we're seeing the rise of the alternative for Deutschland has been really dramatic, as this article points out. It's something we've talked about a few different times on this radio channel, among our different programs. And they're increasingly taking a much more anti-Islam position. They, at their last meeting, they had the choice of adopting a proposal that criticized Islamism and Islamic terrorism. That was overwhelmingly rejected, and instead they went for something that was focused and was over, and it called itself anti-Islam. They were going for an anti-Islamic proposal, an anti-Islamic platform. It was calling for a ban on minarets, a ban on headscarves. And I'm not necessarily saying that those are bad things, but this is a party that is rising in Germany that everybody used to think as being kind of a country of liberal multicultural softies. At least many in the mainstream press, the mainstream media, approach Germany that way, modern Germany that way. Meanwhile, the AfD isn't the only party that a strongman could come to. And in fact, it probably won't. Strongman probably won't come from the AfD, but it's just the appetite for the AfD shows that there is an appetite for a radical departure from standard German politics. But meanwhile, the Christian Social Union, the other conservative group within Germany, they've been talking over the last week or so about splitting from Angela Merkel, about running on a separate platform, ending this agreement that has been there since the end of World War II, and they would also lean in a much more right-wing direction, and they'd be much more palatable to many Germans who agree with what the AfD is saying but don't want to vote for them because there's this kind of stigma attached to them as coming from outside of the mainstream. So there are big and political trends to be watching, as this article points out, in the run-up to the general elections in 2017. And even ahead of that, as this could still be a politically tumultuous year for Germany, especially given the terrorist attacks that we've had so far within Europe. Another piece of news that came out of Germany in the last week or so was a survey showing that the majority of Germans do not want Angela Merkel to run again in 2017. So it's looking increasingly likely that the next leader by 2017, at the very latest, Germany will have a new leader after being dominated by Ms. Merkel for so long. And this point about the similarity in the trends between the two countries is interesting. In the US, many are turning to Trump. Many others, especially the young, they're turning to Bernie Sanders. And Sanders, he's an out-and-out socialist. I was reading over the draft of the next print edition of the Trumpet magazine yesterday, and I think that would be the August issue. And in that upcoming issue, there's a great article from Andrew Miller that talks about just how extreme Bernie Sanders is. And he makes the point that Mr. Obama has many similarities and many similar ties to the extreme left that Bernie Sanders has, but he tried to hide them or tried to downplay them in his election campaign. Whereas Mr. Sanders, he doesn't even try to hide or downplay these links to what used to be, at least, considered the extreme left. He is very open with them. Americans are very dissatisfied with their lot, and so they're willing to turn to Trump, or they're willing to turn to the extreme left to solutions, places they would have never looked for solutions just 5 years ago. And then, as this article brings out, you could easily see Germany turning to extreme solutions soon too. And the pressures in Germany are in many, many ways much worse. They have the migrant crisis. There have been those big terrorist attacks just across the border from them. The euro crisis still has the potential to really threaten their economy. So there's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty within Germany. And now we see the mainstream press is warning of the possibility of a political earthquake, of the rise of a strongman in Europe, just as we've been warning here at the Trumpet, at the Plain Truth before then, for decades. We'll take a quick break, and then just in a couple of minutes we'll continue our discussion about strongmen.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. America's status as the world's lone superpower is rapidly fading. Other nations and groups of nations are angling to fill the void. Rising in the East is an emerging power block of tremendous potential in manpower, economic heft, and military might. Its growing presence is intensifying global competition for resources and for geopolitical influence. Where will this trend lead? What does this mean for you? Biblical prophecy provides a remarkable, penetrating preview of Asia's future. Request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. This book exposes in startling detail what Russia and China are doing and will do, and how they will affect your life. To learn more, request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. So act today and follow the information on your screen. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to KPCG here at 101.3 on the FM dial, also on kpcg.fm. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry. And today we're talking about the return of the strongman leader in international politics. Before the break, we were talking about how the Trumpet and the Plain Truth have been saying about a soon-coming strongman in Germany. As was mentioned in one of the clips that we played, if you want to know more, we have a free booklet called A Strong German Leader is Imminent. If you go to our website, thetrumpet.com, you can read that online, or you can order yourself a free print copy. And now we'll shift gears just a little to the one that some are calling America's strongman, Donald Trump. A couple of weeks ago, we talked on this program about Mr. Obama's comments on Britain leaving the EU that got a lot of Brexiters and people that want to leave the EU over here quite annoyed.
I think it's fair to say that maybe some point down the line there might be a UK-US trade agreement, but it's not going to happen anytime soon because our focus is in negotiating with a big bloc, the European Union, to get a trade agreement done. And UK is going to be in the back of the queue.
Wasn't a popular comment over here. We don't like being told to go to the back of the queue, much as we do tend to like, or stereotypically like, queuing. But then the Republican candidate, or then Republican candidate, Ted Cruz made himself some friends by writing in the Times that if I'm elected to be the next president of the United States, we will ensure that the special relationship is strengthened rather than weakened, and that America works closely with Great Britain to address the myriad challenges faced by the free world, from Islamic terrorism to a resurgent Russia. If Brexit takes place, Britain will be at the front of the line for a free trade deal with America, not at the back. Well, now we know that Ted Cruz is out of the race, and so over the last few days, the question of the special relationship with America has again come to the fore, and this time with what the relationship would look like under a President Donald Trump.
You can now add Great Britain to the list. Trump, the presumptive GOP nominee, and British Prime Minister David Cameron are trading words.
I think his remarks are divisive, stupid, and wrong. And I think if he came to visit our country, I think he'd unite us all against him.
The British Prime Minister, David Cameron, recently said he stands by his comments that your position on Muslims was stupid, divisive, and wrong.
Yeah.
He wouldn't retract them and he wouldn't apologise for saying that.
Honestly, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine.
But if you're president and he's the British Prime Minister,
it looks like we're not going to have a very good relationship. Who knows? I hope to have a good relationship with him. But it sounds like he's not willing to address the problem either.
Would you like David
Cameron,
when
it was brought up,
you like him to withdraw the particular comments that you're stupid, divisive, and wrong with your view about Muslims?
Well, number one, I'm not stupid, okay? I can tell you that right now. Just the opposite. Number two, in terms of divisive, I don't think I'm a divisive person. I'm a unifier. Unlike our president now, I'm a unifier.
And it's not just Prime Minister David Cameron. Trump has also angered the new London Mayor Sadiq Khan.
I think Donald Trump has ignorant views about Islam.
When he won, I wished him well. Now, I don't care about him. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to me about him. Let's see how he does. I mean, let's see if he's a good mayor.
Are you offended by what he said?
Yeah, I am, because he doesn't know me, never met me, doesn't know what I'm all about. I think they're very rude statements, and frankly, tell him I will remember those statements. They're very nasty statements.
That was Fox News on the growing divide between Britain and Trump. Now, one thing I'd like to make clear to our listeners in America is why many in Britain aren't really Trump fans. I think one reason is the same reason that many in America aren't Trump fans, that Trump is just too right-wing for them. But over here, I think even many on the right just really do not like Donald Trump personally. And I think a lot of it is kind of a personality clash. His statements kind of really grate the English ear. If you want to be elected in England, you say things like this.
Everybody who studies British politics knows my realistic chances of becoming Prime Minister are only slightly better than my chances of being decapitated by a frisbee, blinded by a champagne cork, locked in a disused fridge, or reincarnated as an olive. So
that was Boris Johnson on his prospects of being Prime Minister. What you do not say if you're trying to appeal to the British public are things like this.
I will be the most presidential president this country has ever had, except for Honest Abe Lincoln. I cannot beat him. He was so, boom, I refuse to wear the hat.
And so I think a lot of the dislike from him just stems from the way that he talks about himself really grates over here. We like our leaders to be a bit more modest. But getting back to the point, John McTernan, here's an article in The Telegraph today called Donald Trump might kill the special relationship. That's no laughing matter for Britain. Now, regardless of whether you blame Donald Trump or whether you blame David Cameron for the breakdown here, it's very hard to imagine any kind of special relationship between these two men. As Trump said in that interview that we played on that bit of segment from Fox News, it would be, as he said, it would be hard to have a good, it's not going to have a good relationship unless things change a lot with David Cameron. And so this Telegraph article writes that there is certainly a lot of thought, scenario planning going on in the one bit of the government which routinely does long-term thinking. No, not the Treasury, the Ministry of Defence. For at a very deep level, ours is a defence relationship with the United States. The shared language, history and values are important, but the nuts and bolts are the interoperability of equipment and the joint deployment of forces. And at the very heart lies the mutual defense agreement, over 50 years of cooperation on nuclear weapons. He goes on to write that all presidents use the clever, carefully crafted phrase, America has no closer ally than, insert country where I am here. A clever phrase because it provides no relative ranking. It doesn't say closest ally, because that would be a lie. That post is filled. It is us. Or, with the election of President Trump, it was us. For there is no doubt that Trump is not just a threat to the special relationship. He would be the end of it. Now, again, I don't want to get into pointing fingers as to who is to blame. We could just as easily point a finger at David Cameron for comments, for those comments that he made about a presidential candidate. But the point is, the special relationship would be over, or seeing as it's pretty much already over, as we've talked about on this program, it would be overer. It would be even more over. And this article continues that Trump means it when he says that the US pays too much to defend the rest of the free world. And even though the UK bears the cost of the deterrence, we would not be immune. He talks about how Britain would be forced to look to Europe for defense instead of to America. And he concludes by writing the psychological response would be deeper. It would be like Australia and New Zealand after the fall of Singapore. That was the moment they knew that Britain could not always protect them and they had to develop their own alliances. President Trump would change everything. It's no laughing matter for us. Now, really, the deterioration that this Telegraph article talks about has happened already. That special relationship, as we've chronicled on this program, on the Trumpet website, has already really suffered and deteriorated under a Mr. Obama. Would a President Hillary be much better for it? As we talked about one of the last times I was on this program, she was instrumental in getting America behind Germany's bid to break up Yugoslavia, to bomb Kosovo, to bring that area within the European orbit. Her special relationship would be with Germany, not the UK. But this special relationship, it is important, and it is even more important in a world dominated by strong men. Its decline, the growing animosity in both countries, it's a sad thing to see. It's a bad thing for the stability of the world. And it is this relationship that defeated the last strong men, with Roosevelt and Churchill against Hitler, and then Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan against the USSR. When I was looking through Mr. Armstrong's 1983 sermon that we played a fairly lengthy clip from earlier, I just happened to notice this short clip as well.
You know, I'm just reminded, last time I saw Mrs. Thatcher of England, the Prime Minister, as we were leaving, she said, well, there's one thing our two countries, the United States and Britain, must absolutely continue to hang together. And I said, well, if we don't hang together, we probably hang separately.
With a special relationship falling apart, both nations will end up looking to strong men in other countries. And as Mr. Armstrong said, they'll end up hanging apart. It's something that is dangerous for the world. I will take another short break and be right back in just a couple of minutes.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The very best minds in the world are in total ignorance of the unprecedented cataclysm that is about to strike. And why have these prophecies not been understood or believed? Because the vital key that unlocks prophecy to our understanding had been lost. That key is the identity of the United States and the British peoples in biblical prophecy. That key has been found. It is presented to those whose unprejudiced eyes are willing to see in this volume, the United States and Britain in prophecy. The events prophesied to strike the American and British peoples in the next few years are sure. These colossal world events, shrinking the first two world wars into insignificance, will come, but not until the warning has been made available for those whose eyes are willing to see. Request the United States and Britain in Prophecy today. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily radio show here on KPCG, on 101.3 on the FM dial and on kpcg.fm. This is Richard Palmer subbing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry, and the theme of today's show is the return of the strongman leader in international politics, a quote from an article in today's Financial Times. We've been talking about the rise of strongmen around the world, about the need to look to for Germany now as the source of the next or one of the next strongmen. We've also talked about the rise of a person who some see as a strongman in America, Donald Trump, and about how his rise is dividing Britain and America. And meanwhile, the world is becoming much more dangerous. And Gideon Reckman concluded his Financial Times article with this statement. The alarming truth is that the impact of strongman leaders is rarely confined within national borders. All too often, the undercurrent of violence that they introduce into domestic politics spills over into the international stage. He's right, and that's a dangerous warning there. The rise of these strongmen is making the world more dangerous. Take Vladimir Putin over in Russia, for example. Brent Nachtigall, our correspondent over in Jerusalem, sent us an article published in the Jerusalem Post this morning called Kasparov to Post. Putin is existential threat to free world. If anyone doesn't know, Garry Kasparov is a very intelligent individual, arguably one of the best, arguably the best chess player in the history of the world, right at the top of the chess world for years. He played the famous match with IBM's computer, Deep Blue, and he lost the first match. Pointed out that Deep Blue had been programmed and trained on all of his past games, while he hadn't been able to study any prior games from Deep Blue, as would normally be required in a chess tournament. So they had a rematch, and Kasparov won and beat the computer. Since then, he's written some pretty good books on geopolitics, the most recent being one called Winter is Coming, one that's sitting on my shelf, but I've not quite gotten around to reading yet. I'll just read some clips from this article and some of the things that Kasparov told the Jerusalem Post. It begins by writing, former world chess champion and leading opponent of Vladimir Putin's regime in Moscow, Garry Kasparov has described the Russian strongman, there we go again, a theme of the show, as an existential threat to Western democracies, and said that the US and Europe has failed to create an effective strategy against him. It's time to recognize that Putin is an existential threat to the free world and then start to build a strategy, Kasparov told the Post on Monday. Here's another couple of quotes from Kasparov. Mr. Obama has constantly sent signals to Moscow, to Tehran, and to other dictators and thugs in the world that America is in retreat, and they received the signal. Putin is calling the shots, he writes a bit further down, As long as a dictator can defy the most powerful country in the world, he is safe in his own environment because no one, not the generals or the oligarchs or the average people in the street, even if they hate him, which I think many of them do, no one wants to go up against a dictator who looks strong. And he's right, the rise of these strongmen in so many ways gets back to America. And in a lot of ways, it gets back to Mr. Putin. Vladimir Putin has been a strongman for years, standing up against America for years. He invaded Georgia back in 2008, and that was a country that was in the Western camp. It wanted NATO membership. It was trying to draw close to America. And America did nothing on that invasion. The rest of the world took note of that. And then Putin invaded Ukraine, a country that America had actually signed a treaty, Britain too, signed a treaty promising to protect in the case of an invasion. But America, Britain, did nothing. And again, the rest of the world took note. A strong man can stand up to America and get away with it. A strong man can be very popular doing this with his own people. The United States won't do anything. And so the rest of the world started choosing these strong men. They started rising to the top in all these other countries that we talked about at the start of the program, and it spread around the world. Just one more quote from this article from Garry Kasparov, as he told the Jerusalem Post. He said, "We don't have politicians in the free world who can think in the long term, so they're all playing a short-term game which gives a competitive advantage to Putin." The Western world doesn't have a leader who can stand up to Putin, who can stand up to these other strong men. No one is confronting him, and Kasparov has made these kind of quotes for quite a long time. At the very beginning of this program, I referenced an article by Mr. Gerald Flurry, the cover article of our May-June 2015 issue called "A Strong German Leader is Imminent." The title of that article is the same title as the title of that booklet that we mentioned. And in that article, he wrote, "Towards the end of last year, Garry Kasparov, the former chess grandmaster, who has become an outspoken critic of Vladimir Putin, said this, 'My problem is today you have so many politicians lining up to become a new Chamberlain. Where are the Churchills?' And then Mr. Flurry continues, "Churchill warned throughout the 1930s that Western Europe was going to have war with Germany if it didn't stop the aggression of the Nazis. Western Europe could have easily stopped Adolf Hitler, but Europe's leaders wouldn't stand up to him. This produced the worst war in human history. Today, an eerily familiar situation is developing, and another war is coming that will be far worse. Calling Miss Merkel a Chamberlain is a severe criticism. If leaders are criticizing her this terribly in public, what are they saying in private? This criticism is a strong sign of the present mood in Europe, especially in Germany." And then in all caps, he writes, "It is also a sign that a strong ruler is about to come on the scene in Germany." So Europe sees this strong man in Russia. They see Vladimir Putin. They fear him. And this fear will soon prompt, and get together with other fears, will prompt them to get their own strong man. And Mr. Armstrong made exactly the same point in that 1983 sermon that we've already played some clips from.
"Now, one of the great things that is urging Europe on, and perhaps the greatest thing that will cause them to hurry and get together on this, is their fear of what's going on in the Kremlin and the Soviet Union. And Andropov is frightening them. And that is going to rush them. They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves. That's the way they feel over there. Now, that is a chief incentive to unite them, and that is taking place."
We see exactly the same conditions that Mr. Armstrong described back then. We see them today. A different leader over Russia, but the same situation. And it will prompt major changes. It will prompt and help prompt Europe to look for a strong man, its own strong man. There is another strong man, though, who is making the world more dangerous, who was also on that strong man cover of our Trumpet magazine back in May, June last year, and who's also he's been in the news a lot over the past few days, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei of Iran. As I said, the danger he poses, that's been in the news recently. You may have heard it on the top of the hour news yesterday. Over the weekend, Iran held an anti-Israel cartoon contest themed around the Holocaust. And how clear is it what this regime in Iran wants? They fire missiles with "death to Israel" written on them. I wonder what they want to do with those missiles. Anyway, Benjamin Netanyahu, he focused on this contest at the start of his cabinet meeting this week. And he said, over the weekend, Iran convened a special Holocaust denial cartoon contest. And then he said, we raise this here because it must be understood what our problem with Iran is. It is not just a policy of subversion and aggression in the region. It is the values on which it is based. It denies and belittles the Holocaust, and it also prepares another Holocaust. Netanyahu made similar comments at the start of 2015, and we'll play a couple of clips from a speech he gave back then to you now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Ayatollahs in Iran, they deny the Holocaust while planning another genocide against our people. Yet it is the government of Israel that holds the ultimate responsibility for the security of the one and only Jewish state. And here we must speak out and must speak our mind about the dangers to our people and our state. This is something we could not do at the time of the Holocaust. Israel will reject any agreement that leaves Iran as a threshold nuclear state. Regrettably, our understanding is that the offer made by the P5+1 does exactly that. It would enable Iran to break out to a nuclear weapon within a few months, and many more bombs within a short time. The capabilities of Iran to produce enriched uranium for atomic bombs is left intact. Such an agreement is sure to spark a nuclear arms race in the region that would turn the Middle East into a nuclear tinderbox. And such an agreement is simply unacceptable to Israel. We will oppose it, and we will oppose it vigorously. On this day of Holocaust remembrance, I pledge to you what we could neither say nor do 70 years ago. Israel will always do what needs to be done to ensure the security of the Jewish people and the one and only Jewish state. That is the significance of this day.
So that leader of Iran is another strong man, and another strong man with great power, as we heard in that clip. They're getting closer and closer to developing a nuclear bomb, even with this deal that's now in place. Brent on the Trumpet Hour program, last Friday, he talked about how there's the possibility that Iran could be working with North Korea to develop a bomb. So this gives him this gives Iran and that strongman in Iran the potential to hurt Israel, the potential to harm Europe as well. And just like Putin, Iran is able to do this because America won't stand up to them, because America lets them get away with them. And Brent sent across another news article this morning from the Washington Free Beacon called "Details of Iran's Treatment of U.S. Sailors Will Shock the Nation." And that begins by saying the classified details behind Iran's treatment of several U.S. sailors who were captured by the Islamic Republic during a tense standoff earlier this year are likely to shock the nation, according to one member of the House Armed Services Committee, who disclosed to the Washington Free Beacon that these details are currently being withheld by the Obama administration. And this Congressman Randy Forbes, he said, I think that when the details actually come out, most Americans are going to kind of be taken aback by the entire incident, both how Iran handled it and how we handled it. I think there's going to be a huge cause for concern for most Americans. That's why I've encouraged members of Congress to get that briefing so they do know exactly what takes place. And then this Free Beacon article continues, Forbes suggested that Iran's treatment of the U.S. sailors, which included filming them crying and forcing them to apologize at gunpoint, may have been much worse than has been publicly reported. I think clearly there were violations of international and maritime law that took place here, Forbes said. We, the United States, did almost nothing in response. In fact, to have Secretary Kerry actually thank them for releasing our sailors after the way they captured them, I think was a slap in the sailors' face. So there's no, the leadership in America, The current administration, they're not standing up to Iran at all. You'll probably remember that the capture of these sailors, that came at the same time that the Iran deal was officially implemented. They've been so keen to give Iran everything that they want. And so this refusal to confront Iran, it's emboldened Iran. It's emboldened, as we mentioned, other strong leaders all around the world. There are no strong leaders in Britain and in America. And so strong leaders are rising up everywhere else. And they're much more forceful, much more dictatorial, authoritarian than the strong leaders that Britain and America have had in the past that have helped keep these trends in check. And over the hot course of this whole Iran deal, and even way before that, Israel's relationship with America has taken a huge hit, just like the relationship between America and Britain. And so that the Jewish nation in the Middle East, they're going to be forced, and they are being forced, to look elsewhere for help. And they're going to end up looking to Europe and to their coming strongman over there for help. And so all around the world, this rise of these strongmen, the decline in the relationship between Britain and America, it's making the world a much more dangerous place. That's a pretty bleak assessment of the future, with these strongmen everywhere while America falls. But as Mr. Armstrong pointed out all the way back in that 1934 Plain Truth article, in the very first issue of the Plain Truth, the rise of all of these strongmen should cause us to look for the real strong leader. Their rise and the danger that rises with them is a sign that Christ is about to return. Here at last, truly is a Superman, he wrote. Here is the true world dictator. His reign will be a righteous one, and it will be forever and ever. So that is the good news at the end of this bad news and of the rise of these strongmen. That is where it's leading to a leader far, far stronger than any of them, putting the world back on course, leading the world, making the world, solving all of these huge, huge problems that we're facing. That's about it from me today. I will, though, put in a quick plug for one of our other programs here on KPCG, Just the Best Literature. Its host, Mr. Dennis Leap, who'll be arriving in the UK in a couple of days, and we've got some really exciting projects for when he's here. KPCG at Edstone will be going out into the field for the first time ever. Some interviews, some on-type recordings, perhaps even a few video features. I'll let Mr. Leap tell you more about those, but I'll recommend keeping an eye on that show. The whole work at Edstone and the radio studio, we're always expanding, always trying new things. And so I'm pretty excited about what we've got coming up with that program. Meanwhile, this program, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, will be back with you the same time tomorrow. So thanks for listening, and tune in next time here on KPCG or 101.3 on the FM dial and kpcg.fm.